All right, good morning. So glad all of you guys are here to worship with us this morning. If this is your first time, I want to say a special welcome to you. I hope that we get a chance to meet you personally and hopefully develop a friendship that will be both life-giving to everyone involved. So that's what we want to do here at the church. We want to connect in life-giving relationships. We want to help foster those kind of friendships that would help each of us grow in our faith. And every one of us needs the power of Christ through the community, like Gabe talked about in the communion time today. So we're going to kick off a new series this week. It's called Family Matters. And here's what we're talking about. We're going to talk about three or four really important things to our family. We're talking about our family, Harvest Christian Fellowship, the body of Christ, our family of believers, right here in Plainview, Texas. And so we're going to kick off this most important value of ours for Family Matters is this: healthy relationships. So one of the greatest needs that people in our culture today have is this: we need to find a place to belong, to connect, to find not only relationships, but healthy relationships. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you that this word has been transformative to my life and given me such a greater glimpse and view of who you are personally. I'm asking, God, today that you would anoint this message and the ears to hear and the mouth to speak, that you would be glorified through every word and that you would build up and lift up your church, the body of Christ, today through this message. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we need a place to be loved. We need a place to be accepted. We need to find a place to be inspired, to be empowered, but also just to be connected, where we don't have to perform to be loved. We don't have to meet some standard to be accepted. See, we all need a place to belong. In Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, it says this: two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor, which just means that you're not meant to do life alone. There's no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. And if you take an honest read of the Bible, you've never seen from Genesis all the way to Revelation, you don't see a paradigm of godliness outside of human connection and healthy relationships. Verse 10 says, "For if either of them falls," which is very logical, right? "Then the one will lift up his companion." You don't need to go hiking alone. "But woe to the one who falls and there's no one to lift him up." I don't want to be depressing today, but every one of us are going to have moments in our life when we're not able to stand on our own two feet all by ourselves. We need people to lift us up. We need people to help. That may be very seldom, it may be very often, but you have a part to play, whether you're the one who's stumbling or you're the one who's reaching. That's what the body of Christ is here for. We should love one another greater than ourselves. The Bible says in the book of Philippians that we should prefer one another as more important than ourselves. I'm going to tell you today, if you step into that reality, you have stepped into the kingdom of God and miraculous living. Because none of us think everybody else is more important than us naturally. We naturally wake up thinking about ourselves and what do we need and how can we care for our own lives. And when we step into the presence of God consistently, when we realize that he's got a calling on our life to love other people, then we begin to see the value of others, and we not only want relationships to help us, we want to help them. And I'm telling you, there's nothing more fulfilling in your life than being able to help someone else when they can absolutely give nothing back to you for your help. It's what Jesus called give, expecting nothing in return. There's nothing, I promise you this today, there's nothing more fulfilling than when you give of yourself to others without an expectation for them to pay you back. That's freedom in the kingdom of God. See, God designed us with an intrinsic need for relationships. not only with him, but with others. You say, duh, but I think we need to talk about this, because what happens is we come to church, we may love the Lord with all of our heart, but it takes an extra step to connect with other people. It takes an extra step of faith to believe that I really need others in my life. There's something that's permeated the gospel in America. It's this little thing called me and Jesus. Just me and Jesus. I'm okay all by myself because I've got Jesus, and Jesus is the God of the universe, and he's all in all, and there's none like him, and that's all true. But by his perfect design, he created inside of you a need and, yes, a desire and even a passion to connect with other people. If you're honest today, you can stand with me and say, I can't make it on my own. God didn't design me that way. I'm not meant to live that way. And the temptation to live alone sometimes is because people tend to hurt one another unintentionally all the time. Have you ever been a member of a family? Have you ever been married? Have you ever had children or parents? See, we unintentionally bump into each other trying to do good, sometimes just trying to exist, and we hurt one another. And so somehow, if we don't let the goodness of God permeate our hearts and heal us, we'll say, you know what? I'll be fine building walls the rest of my life and keep all of you people away. I'll keep you at an arm's length because I don't want you to hurt me again. Listen, church. There's not a person on this planet who hasn't been hurt by someone else. And your pain is real. You can say, well, my pain's not nearly as bad, or my pain's a ton worse. It doesn't matter. What happens to you is real, and you need to be honest today that if you don't let the living God touch your heart, you'll never connect in a deep way with other people. You'll have lots of acquaintances and not many friends. And I'm going to tell you right now, God wants you to have great, healthy friendships. Can you be best friends with everybody? No. Don't even need to think about that. Just think about how can you be a friend to somebody, and guess what? When you're a friend to them, they will be a friend back to you. Or if they won't be a friend to you, somebody will be a friend to you. When you get your focus off of you and on to serving others, guess what? Boom, you kick in the supernatural power of God and you begin to attract people to you and they want to connect with you. Now, we live in a society that says it's weak to say that you need anybody. See, we live in a culture that celebrates and promotes individualism and independence over community and connectedness. Now, there's nothing wrong with independence and individualism. We raise our kids to be independent. We don't want them to be dependent on our income the rest of their lives. Amen, parents. We want them to grow up and get a job. Woo! Right? We want that. So that's called independence. What we need to remember to teach our children is once you've become independent and you don't need people, then you can become interdependent, where you choose people. Because I'm not going to lie to you today, you could live the rest of your life as a loner. And you could look relatively successful to most people around you. You've dedicated all your time to your work, and so you have financial prosperity, and you're if people look on the outside, you have all the trappings of a great life. Truth might be that you don't have anybody to share that with. And what a tragedy that would be when God says through his word that we need each other. So community is huge in the body of Christ. The truth is, however, our greatest individual strengths are realized in community. Think about it. You got all these gifts and talents. If nobody's there to recognize them, affirm them, or appreciate them, or even benefit from them, what good are they? Just something to think about. I realize I might not get a lot of amens on this, because this mentality of independence permeates our culture, even in the church. And I'm not here today to pick a fight with you. What I am here to do is bring the truth of Scripture to you and say there are no easy relationships. Healthy relationships take time, energy, money, time, energy, money, forgiveness, grace, mercy. Who's got time for that? I'm trying to make a living. Well, our ability to live interdependently with others brings out the best in us. I'm going to tell you what, I'm a lot better person because I'm married to a sweet young lady right over there. She has taught me so many things. She brings out the best of who I am, and she helps rub off some of my rough edges too. See, we're the best we can be when we submit to community. Because here's the deal. The one who created us, he created us to live together, not alone. This being true, we need to ask God to give us vision for relationships with other people. A vision for what health looks like, a vision for what the reality of his goodness would look like in a relationship. So maybe today you're one of those people who says, I'm hearing you, but if I'm honest, I have a tendency to put my hand out and say, that's close enough, everybody. Don't get any closer. Maybe you're here, right? You're at church and you're in community and here we are together. But you're not sure you want to let anybody any closer than that. I want to tell you something. The God who created you wants to give you renewed vision for healthy connections. We need to have a vision for strong, healthy relationships. So, what if today, as we read some more scripture and we hear this message, what if God could envision you for your future with great, healthy relationships? What if he could breathe new life into some broken areas? What if he could heal some places that are so full of pain? What if he could show you how good it could be connecting with other people? Wouldn't that be great? If you want to receive vision today, God is here to give vision today. See, Colossians 2, verse 19, the second part of that verse says this: the head, which is Christ Jesus, from whom the entire body, that would be all believers in Christ, were being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Let me tell you what that means. We are the body of Christ. That's what Jesus is, the head, and we're the parts of the body. The heart, the hand, the foot, the knee, the leg. Do you see that? We all are parts of his body. He's the head. But it says our connections, where joints and ligaments connect bones. It's given an illustration there. The connection from this bone to this one has ligaments and tendons. That's a relationship. Guess what? If I've got a problem in my left elbow, my left hand and everything from there down does not work properly because it has a problem connecting back to the head. I used to play tennis. Don't do that anymore. But last time I tried, I got a little condition called tennis elbow. And it was ouchy. And when you've got tennis elbow, it's hard to do what you're supposed to do down here because there's such a pain between you and the direction giver, the head. Think about that in the body of Christ, in the church. If you're a right index finger and your relationship to the people between you and Jesus has ouchies in it, you're probably not getting a real good signal from Jesus. You go, well, wait a minute, it's just me and Jesus. Don't you remember the American gospel? That's only part of the gospel. Yes, Jesus picked you. Jesus loved you. He went after you. And if you were the only person like the 99 and the one, he would go after the one. But when he finds you, guess what he does with you? He puts you back in the community. So yeah, it's you and Jesus till he gets you back under the in the herd, under a shepherd. And then it's you and all the other sheep and the shepherd and Jesus. And that's how it works. So think about it practically. If your relationships are great out in the community, but you don't connect with anybody in the church, you've got a major problem. I think I'll just keep going. I'll tell you this right now. You need me. Whether you like it or not. And guess what? I need you, whether I like it or not. Because we are the body of Christ. This isn't my church. This is Jesus' church. And so he put us in here. And he decided to kind of put this thing together in local little things called local churches. And if you'd rather relate to people on the internet about Jesus or some other church about Jesus, but you don't want to relate here, you just want to kind of show up to church and do a little worship and maybe throw a little money in and get the heck out of here because you don't want to deal with the pain of some of the people here, then this message is for you. We'd all be lying if we said we don't understand what I just said. We've all been there. And being healthy is hard, but it's worth it. I'm going to skip the passage in Romans and go to the next slide. You cannot be rightly related to God if you're not rightly related to the rest of the body of Christ, the church. Romans 12, 3 through 5 just says what I just said. It's all over the New Testament. Colossians talks about it. Romans talks about it. Ephesians, Galatians. Everybody talks about this body and connection. Healthy connections, relationships with other believers naturally builds your relationship with God. If you're saying, you know, I feel distant from God, you know the fastest way to reconnect? Grab another believer and say, pray for me. I don't feel connected to God. Talk to someone in the body of Christ that you feel like you can trust. And if you don't feel like you can trust anybody here, take a risk on a pastor. Take a risk on a prayer team member after this service. Take a risk on a life group leader. At least somebody thinks those people are worth your time. They've been endorsed by the church. So if you can't find anybody, find a leader. Find somebody that looks like they're the nicest person you've ever met and go tell them you need prayer. But let me tell you this. That's why we intentionally do life groups at this church. Why? In a life group, you can find the kind of healthy relationships you need to grow in your relationship with God. Are life groups mandated in Scripture? No, but healthy relationships are. So that's our method. Some people do Sunday school. Some people do other things. We do life groups. Why? Because we are trying to follow a pattern that we see in Scripture of meeting together publicly. You see this in Acts chapter 2, and then meeting in smaller groups in people's homes where we can really connect. One of our goals as our church is growing is that it always feels small to every individual. What does that mean? You don't get lost in the crowd because we have a life group for you to connect with, and you can find friends there. You find healthy connections. I know one of the the problems is maybe your schedule doesn't fit our life group schedule, and that's okay. Find somebody in this church and connect with them. We do these life groups, and the majority of people can make it if you want to. Some of your work schedules don't get you there. Some of your life's regiment doesn't get you there. But guess what? That doesn't keep you from developing healthy relationships in the church. Just take a minute and quit looking at the platform up here and look around the room. I bet you there's somebody in here you could get along with. I'll bet you. You know why? Because they're human beings just like you. They're people who need Jesus bad just like you. They're people who have struggles at home and struggles at work and struggles internally just like you. We all need each other. Let me tell you something that every believer in Christ needs. Every believer needs someone to encourage them, someone to sharpen them, someone to challenge them, someone to speak truth to them, someone to lift them up, and someone to hold themselves accountable to. Listen to me. What does all that look like? That looks like somebody who loves me. Look at those things. Encouragement, sharpening, challenging, truth-speaking, accountability, and lifting people up. What does that look like? That looks like somebody who loves me. And I need to be loved. We used to have this phrase around here, and I don't mind sharing it because it applies to most of us some of the time. The EGR, extra grace required. You know why I can talk about that? Because I are one. Just ask my wife. Oh man, you can't be married to me without extra grace and love. And the truth is, we're all EGRs. We all need extra grace from somebody most days. That's why we do life group. Because what is the meaning? What is the purpose? Why do we come together in people's homes? So grace can abound in people's lives. So love can come forth. So encouragement can be spoken. Yeah, every once in a while you need to be challenged, but that's not nearly as often as you just need to be encouraged. You need a pat on the back. You're going to make it. It's going to be okay. I can't tell you how many times I've just needed somebody to say, Brad, it's going to be okay. Hang in there. God is good. If you're looking for that kind of relationship, you don't have to look any further. We have it right here at your church. Hebrews 10 says this, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What day? The day of the end of all this nonsense, and Jesus comes back. Woo! Older I get, the more I look forward to it. Come on, Jesus. We could end it today, and I'd be happy. Or we can keep on going, I'll be even more happy. Whatever you want, Lord. But what does it say to do until that day he returns? It says stimulate one another, spur each other on, encourage one another. Ask yourself this question. What is the group of people I go to when I need to be encouraged? And if you go, I've never thought about that before. It's a good thing to think about. Because you need it, church. You need Proverbs 27:17 in your life. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We need to be sharpened. We need to be encouraged. We need to be loved. We need to be accepted. Why? Because that's the way God designed it. Remember, the goal today is to receive vision. And I hope that as we make some of these points, some of them might just kind of poke a little bit and hurt a little bit. Maybe when it hurts, you go, wait, maybe I need some attention in that area. It's not to pick on you. It's to say, hey, let's open our eyes. Let's think about the Bible. Let's think about God. Let's think about the body and say, how can I better do my part? And how can I receive what God wants me to receive in the meantime and in the interaction of great relationships? This would be a great question to ask yourself. How many people do you just love being around? How many people can you just not stand being around? Is this getting real now? We've all got both. In a church this big, some of them are right here in this room. Hopefully the ones you love being around for sure. But every once in a while, you might sit over here because somebody else sits over there. Can we be honest? You think that's healthy? Well, maybe for a season, but not for life. We need to learn how to get along. You don't have to be best friends with everybody, but you've got to be able to forgive. You got to be able to let go. I'm telling you what, if you want to learn to forgive and walk in healing, get in one of our life groups. It's the best place to receive the encouragement you need to live the life God calls us to live. So we need to have a vision for strong, healthy relationships. Here's a few questions I want you to ask yourself as we get ready to close today. Who encourages and sharpens me? Have I given anyone permission to challenge me or to speak truth to me? Am I accountable to anyone for my choices? Do I participate in a Harvest life group? How am I intentionally developing Christ-centered, life-giving relationships? Leave those questions up for just a minute so people can take a picture or write them down. These are challenging questions. For some of us, like, this person, that person, I got this group of people. I love my group. I've got two or three different groups that I'm connected with. I'm so excited about what God's doing. Listen, that could be the testimony of everybody in this room. But if you want to grow as a person, you need to have these people in your life. And it's one thing to talk about it, it's another thing to act on it. You could be out there going, "You're right, I agree, amen," which I haven't heard a lot of today, but it's okay. I know when it's real quiet, people are really thinking about what I'm saying. Because we need each other, church. We need, because why? Because Jesus has a plan for our lives, and it's not independence. It's connectedness. It's love. You'll never know how much God loves you until you find some healthy people to live life with who will give themselves to you, and you give to them, and it's give and take and let love and accept and receive and forgive, and we're going to continue on even though it's hard sometimes. Everybody needs people like that in their lives. So today we're asking God and expecting God to give us vision. What is vision good for? It shows you where to go. If I close my eyes and keep walking forward, I might walk off the front of this stage and hurt myself. But as long as I have vision, I know where to go. See, too many of us live visionless in a relationship with God. We don't have any goals. We don't have any, we're going this way. No, we're just happy if we make it to church by the third song in either service. Yeah, amen. I'm glad you're here too. But maybe God wants to give just a little bit more vision than that. Maybe like more than that. As God opens your eyes, our eyes collectively, and breathes vision into us, I pray that you'll not just see where you need to go, you'll take action toward where God is showing you. Guess what? If you're isolated, it's not going to be fun and easy to jump into relationships. I promise you, it will be challenging. I'm not going to lie to you. I've isolated myself before. And when you try to break out of that isolation, you can think of every reason why you don't want to get unisolated. Life's good over here. I got my comfort. I got my ice cream, my remote control, my sports. I don't need you. I'm happy with all this virtual reality. It's not real, though. Oh, I keep up with everybody on Facebook. Not real. Oh, I read people's tweets. Neat. You can know a lot about people's opinions, and you can see where people went on vacation. May nobody posting on Facebook their real life. And the ones that do need a counselor. Okay, so that was for free. It just came to me. Okay, so, and if that's you, we love you, and we will help you find a good counselor. Okay, so vision is one thing. Action is another. We need both. So if God's showing you need to develop some relationships, let me give you five simple ways to take action. There's a life group directory in the seat back in front of you. If you flip through that, I don't know how you could avoid wanting to go to these people's houses. Look at them friendly faces. Man, I know exactly where I'll go. How about our website? You're all tech savvy, get on the web. On the back of your bulletin, shows you how to get to the group finder. I'm going to tell you what, after you walk out of here today, we're going to give you five easy ways to get involved in a life group. If you don't, it's because your schedule doesn't permit or you just don't want to. And that's all your choice. But we want you to. Why? So we can say on our report, oh, we had X number of people in life groups? No. Because we want you to have the best life you can have in the kingdom of God through this church. That's why we do life groups. Go ask anybody whose beautiful picture is in this booklet why they do what they do. Is it because they make a lot of money off of it? Is it because it helps their business grow? No, it's a sacrifice. Why do they open their home and share their life with anybody who would come? Because they want you to have what they've received. They know it is worth more than money, worth more than influence, worth more than power or fame or fortune. I'm telling you, healthy, God-centered, life-giving relationships are the best. You got a phone? We got an app. It's free. We don't charge you for our app. When you walk out the door, there's a vertical banner right across the way that tells you how to get it. If that is not good enough, go to the Connection Center, and they will show you how to get the app. And on the app, you can find all of this. Let me tell you one more way. Just forget about technology. Say, I don't like all that stuff. Walk out to the Connection Center today. Life group leaders will be standing there waiting to receive you to give you instructions on how to drive to their location this Wednesday night. They'll exchange telephone numbers with you. I promise you, they will hunt you down, and you'll love it. The food is good. The atmosphere is great. The people are better than ever. Get involved in one of our life groups. And if that's not working for you, give me a call. Call me at the office. I will personally help you find a life group. Why? Because life groups change my life. And how could I keep this to myself? I want to give it all away. Stand with me. Our prayer team is going to come right now. And I just want to encourage you today. Take action. I find it hard to believe that anybody in this room would have a large disagreement with what I just spoke about. I think we all tend to agree that the Bible talks about relationships. We tend to know that we need healthy relationships. We need to connect. So then it's not an intellectual problem. It's not a values problem. Then what is standing between you and healthy, life-giving relationships? And if you can't figure it out, one of these people would love to pray with you. If you find that, as I spoke about being hurt or offended or disconnected, there's pain involved, just lay it down today. Bring it up here. Let the journey of healing begin. Whatever it is for you, here's what we want. We want you to have great, healthy, life-giving relationships. And we want that because that's what will make your life better. Will you pray with me? God, we want everybody to have their best life now, but we also have this greater vision. It's what you said, Jesus, go into all the world and make disciples. And we can't go and we can't be effective if we're not connected rightly to your body, Jesus. So help us all get connected because you have a dream for West Texas to be on fire with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have a dream for us to be fire starters who are so full of life and health and peace and love and acceptance that we've got it running out our ears. Giving it away to everybody we see, whether it be at work or church or school or shopping, God, we're there and we're full and your spirit's running over into this community and this region, God. But God, we confess today that we need healthy relationships to get that done. And some of us, God, have barriers, so we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit wrecking ball. Just break down the barriers that we have personally built ourselves and let us go free today. Let us find life in the community of faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I hope you have a great semester connecting with people in this church. And I hope that today before you leave, you'll make up your mind, I'm going to get connected with good people at Harvest Christian Fellowship. If you need prayer, come on down. If not, have a blessed day.